Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Top Gun, Maelstrom, by Michael Anderley, narrated by Eva Wilhelm. Chapter 1. Mia placed her hand over her eyes to block the dust blown her way by a harsh wind. Bright sunlight glinted off a parked scarlet ship with a glossy finish. It looked impressive and new except for the huge gouge running along the port side hull that ended with half a missing engine and cracks running through it. Vessels lay arrayed in a vast collection in front of her, most bearing the scars of battle or accidents so terrible it was surprising there had been anything left to salvage. Parts, including huge engines and threatening weapon barrels and launchers, were arranged in piles along the edges. Mia glanced behind her at the parked Irinis. The black market starship lot wasn't laid out exactly like it had been when she purchased her ship, but she'd never forget her home and greatest asset had come from this place, along with the obfuscate system that had helped her infiltrate ICE and rescue Charlie. This lot and the owner had played a key role in advancing her mission, despite not knowing anything about it. A good leader shouldn't abandon useful resources without a compelling reason. They hadn't gotten that far yet. Ida walked up beside Mia and yawned.
Are you sure about this? I don't question the plan, but from what happened the last time you talked to this guy, it might be better to find another contact.
Yes, I'm sure, Mia replied. We need to get to Laconis to find Cecilia Ryle, and that means we need to go into the KCAP Corps without getting surrounded by a fleet.
She inclined her head toward the Irinis. Our ship and fighters are too well known. Even if by a miracle we could run the OS all the way to the planet, there is no way we'll be able to land in a city without a visual ID. We need another option, and Galik has proven reliable in the past. Even when he was given a reason to sell us out, he didn't.
You'd know better than I would. Ido shrugged. I can't fault his OS parts, and I know if he tries to screw us over, you'll rip him apart.
Bothering to use the salesman's name proved their relationship had changed. Mia hadn't thought of him as much more than an oily snake when they first met. She'd coerced him into selling the Irinis at her chosen price, and later returned to him only to learn that tools of the conspiracy had sniffed around him looking for her. Mia hadn't been sure if she could trust him, but he'd passed up his chance to sell her out, instead agreeing to help her mislead her dangerous enemies. She suspected it was less fear of Mia's vengeance and more the worry over his underworld reputation being ruined that motivated Galik than her profitable repeat business. He'd done little to disabuse her of the notion. For the moment, he remained a useful asset she needed to preserve. Despite what Ido had suggested, there was no certainty Mia could find another reliable off-the-books starship salesman. She hadn't been infamous in the Fringe when she'd first encountered Galik, but the Bleaker incident had changed everything. Charlie headed over from the Irinis to Mia, looking around with barely disguised disinterest.
I hope they come. He bared his teeth. It would be convenient to kill them here. We don't have to worry about too much collateral damage.
Mia chuckled. Galik might mind, but I get what you're saying. But we have no reason to think they're coming. And with the flight patrolling above the planet, we'll see them coming if they do. Galik's familiar figure appeared in the distance as he weaved between a tight row of dusty fighters on his anti-grav platform. A cold shiver ran down Mia's back. The man's too warm smile set her on edge. He waved merrily. She tried to decide whether she'd miscalculated. Mastering ground and space combat hadn't given her dominance of informational and social warfare. There was too much about people she needed to learn.
Something's wrong, Mia murmured, reaching into her jacket to rest her hand on her gun.
Debbie 2, picking up any unusual signals?
Nothing since we arrived. The AI replied. I've been monitoring the area since before we landed. The flight hasn't reported anything unusual either. Normal traffic to and from the planet. None heading this way.
Mia surveyed the horizon in both directions, squinting.
She tried to listen for the distant rumble of approaching engines.
Ito slid a gaze toward Mia.
What are you seeing? Is this a super soldier thing? You see enemies?
No. Mia shook her head.
It's Galeek. He's smiling.
It's not like he didn't smile before. Normal people smile, including scummy salesmen. It's harder to get people to buy expensive ships from you when you're scowling at them.
This is different. Mia narrowed her eyes. He's smiling because he's actually happy. When he smiled before, it was too practiced, too perfect.
Ito stared at Mia.
Sometimes I don't get you at all. It's like you're convinced the entire galaxy wants to kill you.
Tactical awareness at all times cuts down on ambushes, Mia insisted, keeping a grip on her gun. And I've made enemies of a dark conspiracy in the K-Cap that has worked with the Corpos in the past. I also helped take out a Bleaker beacon. So, technically, a good chunk of the galaxy does want to kill me.
Charlie grunted. He smells off, but not too off. He wouldn't deserve black ice or
other punishments. Ito gave him a quizzical look. Mia didn't want to clarify what Charlie meant. His past behavior was better left on ice. Betraying someone you think is a criminal might not come off the same as being a totally self-interested asshole, noted Mia. Galeek slowed and lowered his platform, his unsettling happiness remaining on display. He motioned for them to hop aboard.
My favorite customers! How may I be of assistance this fine day?
Really? That's how you greet us? Mia scanned the nearest ships and equipment piles for any hints of snipers. She sniffed, surprised at faint, unexpected floral notes from Galeek and not detecting any of the olfactory cocktails that suggested violence. Satisfied that she wasn't going to get shot immediately, she stepped onto the platform. A bored-looking Ito followed along with Charlie.
"Why wouldn't I greet you that way?" Galeek asked.
"Because I brought you trouble before?" answered Mia.
Galeek chuckled.
Despite the unpleasantness with those unfortunate gentlemen, your continued patronage has been helpful to maintaining my business, and overall I have little to complain about. And I'm still here, aren't I?
Mia lowered her hand. Galeek knew how dangerous she was. He wouldn't dare ambush them at risk of his own life. His best bet was to ply them with compliments and leave them off guard. Once they departed, he could contact the K-Cap agents hunting them and leave the violence to them.
No one else has stopped by to ask about us, she pressed.
No more mysterious agents with unclear identities and allegiances.
Galeek shook his head.
I sent out my report about our previous contact, subject to our agreed-upon bits of misdirection. There was no follow-up, despite...
He averted his eyes. His smile wavered for the first time.
The unpleasantness that linked your vessel to the Bleaker takeover of Trela 5.
That was a misunderstanding, yes, Galeek interrupted with a wave of his hand. He grinned.
That's all obvious now. Your ship and crew, after all, have been linked to the destruction of a Bleaker beacon. There's some out there who claim that single act might have disrupted their entire invasion of this sector.
We weren't the only people involved in that operation, Mia noted. Good men and women died to stop the Bleakers during that mission.
Of course, I've heard as much. Everyone contributed equally and all that.
He reached down to the platform controls and pushed the platform back into the maze of derelict and half-destroyed ships.
My point is that reputation's a curious thing. You need to understand that word gets around, especially when one works outside the bounds of conventional authorities and law. In such situations, trust is even more important than normal. When something unfortunate happens during my typical dealings with my standard customers, I'm not in a position to go ask for governmental aid when people decide to ignore basic sales courtesy.
Mia inched her hand back into her jacket.
Sure, of course. That's a large part of why I've been dealing with you. I assume most of your customers would rather avoid the attention of the government.
Charlie stared into the distance. He'd barely moved since they'd boarded the platform. Ito hadn't said anything either. Her gaze shifted back and forth as she took in the ships and parts scattered around the dusty expanse.
"People knew the Irinies was purchased from me," Galeek continued, the lightness from his voice gone, a grim certitude now infused into his words. "I made sure. It's as we discussed previously. Your actions serve as an advertisement for my products, both positive and negative. I have a vested interest in your success."
Mia motioned to her chest. "But like you said, we were cleared of what happened with Trela 5. We were set up, and we proved it by risking our lives to take the fight to the Bleakers." Someone moved out of the corner of her eye, stepping out from behind a landing strut. Mia tugged her pistol from her holster but kept it underneath her jacket. She'd picked out one distant drone and the new arrival with no indications of other forces. Even a Mia clone warped like one of Icarus' sons wouldn't be enough against Mia and Charlie on high alert. Galeek turned the platform toward the strut and slowed down.
"Of course, of course. No one can question you, or by extension, me now. Despite the KCAP government not being overly fond of you, most people in this part of the fringe understand how heroic your actions were. You accomplished something neither the KCAP nor Corpos have recently."
Mia turned toward him and focused on the strut. The floral notes she'd picked up on earlier were more blatant now, stronger. Galeek wasn't the original source. A tall, fit, statuesque beauty in a flattering dress stepped out from behind the strut holding a tray. Mia was about to tug out her gun and put a round in the woman, thinking she had explosives, before releasing the grip on her pistol and pushing it back into her holster. She dropped her hand. Mia had mistaken cups filled with water for cylindrical explosives.
"Ah, Karana," offered Galeek with a sigh. "You're so thoughtful. I meant to ask you, but as always, you know what I'm thinking."
He beamed a smile at the woman.
"Whereas I've been so thoughtless."
He stopped the platform in front of the woman.
"I don't know what I'd do without you."
Mia glanced between the two. This was either the worst ambush in history or completely innocuous. Karana's floral scent was now overwhelming. A perfume. She was grateful her friends clung to the pilot-linked habit of avoiding such things. The water could be poisoned. Even with her enhanced senses, Mia couldn't detect every possible contaminant. That would be a bold plan, especially as she couldn't see anything on the cups distinguishing them. "I didn't know you had an assistant," Mia ventured while working through tactical scenarios with different assumptions of poison efficacy.
"Not an assistant, a wife," answered Galeek.
Mia scoffed. "I definitely didn't know you had a wife." Ito squatted and peered off at a ship in the distance. The battered hull spoke of an unfortunate encounter with too many meteorites. The engineer paid no attention to Mia and Galeek. Karana advanced and offered the tray. Mia waved her off and Ito ignored her. Charlie leaned over and took a cup with a nod. Karana offered him a bright smile before turning back toward Mia. She wanted to warn Charlie not to drink it, but by the time she'd opened her mouth, he'd gulped down the water with all the greed of a man trapped in a desert for a century.
"I'm not thirsty," Mia clarified, surprised how the woman didn't even so much as flinch at Charlie's appearance.
The giant wasn't showing any signs of poisoning. That was a good start. Galeek reached over to take his own cup and sip of water.
"I wasn't married the last time we met," Galeek explained. "As I alluded to earlier, there was a period when my business wasn't as brisk. You see, word got around that I'd supplied the crew that had helped Trela 5 fall, and no one wanted to buy from me. Even those who operate with a broader view on the restrictive nature of law don't take kindly to people who'd help aliens kill humans."
He gestured toward Karana and smiled.
"I met her during that time. After a whirlwind romance, she became a wife. She stuck by me during that lean, dry time, and now she's reaping the additional reward. Mia frowned.
I don't understand. What additional reward?
Galik let out a merry chuckle as if the question was the most delightful he'd heard in years. I explained it before. I'm now the man who supplied the crew that pushed back the Bleakers. Business has been booming. Your successful mission proved the reliability of my products in the most extreme of situations. He motioned around the lot. Haven't you noticed how few ships are present?
Not really, no, Mia admitted.
Galik's mouth twitched. Oh, well, it's true nonetheless. Charlie finished his glass and handed it back over to Karana. Galik did the same. She smiled again and walked over to a smaller hover platform. She stepped on it and flew away without a word. Mia couldn't tear her attention off the woman. She's very pretty. And very supportive and very loyal, Galik added. Very patient. The perfect woman, truly. I'm blessed that she entered my life.
And how did someone like you end up with someone like her? Mia asked.
Galik's brow lifted. That's rather rude. We're compatible. What more is there?
I'm sure it's that simple.
Mia couldn't claim expertise on romance, and she doubted Ido or Charlie could either. Dropping the subject was the best course of action.
Congratulations, I guess, but I'm not here to discuss your marriage, and my wedding present will be the money I pay you for giving me what I need. Can we get down to business?
Of course. Galik's warm smile vanished, replaced by the oily, forced grin more reminiscent of their past encounters. The predator was back and looking for his next victim. You have first-hand experience with the quality of my products. With that in mind, what can I do for you?
I need a way to get into the KCAP core worlds undetected, Mia began. The Irinis is great, but too famous. So I need a ship that can stay under the radar, but can get up and go. I'm not looking to make too much trouble there, so this won't blow back on you.
Galik nodded. He tapped away at a panel on his platform. Hidden firepower could prove helpful, am I correct? Mia's jaw clenched. Ido stood and shook her head.
Weapons would be nice, but this is supposed to be for infiltration. Firepower's not really a concern at all.
I wouldn't say it's not a concern at all, complained Mia. A gun or two isn't going to hurt.
Ido scoffed. If we're doing any shooting, something's gone wrong, and we're going to get swarmed by carrier groups that'll tear us to shreds. There's no ship this guy can get his hands on that we could stuff enough weapons into to survive that. We need to focus on speed and maneuverability. Anything else is a waste of money and maintenance time.
Mia folded her arms. But that doesn't mean no weapons, just to be clear. Of course.
Galik reached into a pocket to pull out a data pad. He tapped away merrily.
I have a number of lovely options that I'm sure you'll find useful for such a mission. I'm even willing to give you a...
His data pad beeped.
He blinked.
Is there a problem? Mia asked.
No, none at all.
Galik shook his head.
Karana was just informing me of something.
He chuckled.
I'd forget my own brain if it wasn't for that woman.
He put a hand to his mouth and cleared his throat.
You see, I forgot that with the way you fly around and blow things up on the fringe, paying close attention to what's happening in the KCAP isn't high on your list of priorities.
We pay more attention than you might think, Mia shrugged. But anything is welcome if you think we should hear it.
That wasn't a lie. Mia had Debbie too monitor news sources when practical. Galik's dismissive description of their activities pointed to the main trouble. Traveling all over the fringe meant even if they were trying to hear the latest news, they might not have it yet. I do think you should hear this, replied Galik. You see, the concerns about traitors helping the Bleakers led to a minor crisis. It wasn't, you see, something that people even thought to worry about. After all, why would a human ever help a Bleaker? He clucked his tongue. There's been a debate about how to best address this in the KCAP. Have you been following that at all?
Mia shrugged. Like you said, too busy flying and shooting. I know they've come up with different stupid ideas.
They're implementing one of those stupid ideas.
Galeek smirked.
They've passed a set of security measures and laws. Included among those is a requirement for all KCAP citizens and legally recognized non-citizen travelers to carry an ID configured for quick scanning by law enforcement.
Mia rolled her eyes. That's moronic and impractical.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Galeek shrugged.
But when has a law being stupid and impractical ever stopped a government from implementing it? I suspect the point isn't that they will waste time fining or arresting every random person who doesn't rush out and get the ID, but rather using it as an excuse to go after anyone suspicious. You see, of course, how that figures into your ship request.
Ido looked over at Charlie and then Mia. They'll detain us for sure without one, and if we're detained, we're as good as dead.
Mia folded her arms. This doesn't change anything about needing an infiltration ship.
Galeek gave her a pitying look.
If you say so, but it won't do you much good to get a ship and make it to the KCAP core, only to be flagged and detained within a few minutes of landing anywhere.
He scoffed.
Let's be realistic, shall we? Of course, they're not going to send the authorities after every random farmer or laborer on every colony. But someone with the resources and wherewithal to fly to a new planet is all but guaranteed to be flagged.
Charlie growled. Stop playing games.
I'm not playing games, my large friend.
If you're bothering to tell us all this, I'm assuming you have a solution, Mia broke in.
Me? Not exactly.
Galeek's smile brightened.
But I know someone who does.
He reached down to the controls. The platform lifted off the ground and headed toward a tiny building tucked away strategically among the ships, so well it was hard to see it until they were practically on top of it.
Galeek slowed to a stop in front of the building. Karana has thoughts on the subject.
Your wife? Mia's brow lifted. Fine. She nodded to Ido. Why don't you take Charlie to take a look at what Galeek has on offer? I'll chat with his wife. We don't want to spend any more time or money here than we have to.
Mia leaned against a wall with her arms folded. Efficient use of the cramped space inside included chairs, a couch, a table, and a small cabinet in the corner. Karana sat in one of the chairs with a languid smile. She gestured to a tray on the table. This time it held an array of meats and cheeses.
No, thank you, Mia commented. I came in here because your husband implied you could help me get my hands on KCAP IDs.
Karana threaded her hands together.
Ah, yes.
Her voice was light, perky, and vaguely annoying.
I could help with that. I have connections both in the Fringe and the KCAP that I believe would prove useful for this.
Mia stepped away from the wall. You have connections?
Why is that so surprising?
Because it makes no sense if you've got the connections that allow you to do things like gen up governmental IDs that you're out in the middle of nowhere with that gr... She took a second to gather her thoughts. It doesn't make sense for you to be out here with Galeek.
Karana's look managed to combine pity and condescension in a way that made Mia want to punch her in the face.
You've never known love, have you?
We're not here to discuss my personal life. Mia spat out in a near growl. We're here to talk about IDs.
Karana waved her hand dismissively.
I think the other subject could prove interesting, but very well. I have a contact that may be able to help you get your hands on the necessary IDs. Unfortunately, she lives in an out-of-the-way location. Comms will take a moment to establish.
I've got time, Mia shrugged.
Very well, then.
Karana produced a datapad from seemingly nowhere and tapped away, humming a soothing melody. With nothing else to do, Mia sat and looked around the room. She hadn't paid that much attention to the decorations, including a picture on the wall of Karana and Galeek together, smiling, her in an elaborate white bundle of fabric passing as a wedding dress. Mia didn't get why the curvaceous Amazon would end up with the pasty, pudgy little lump of a man.
She looked Karana over again while the woman entered commands into her data pad. The woman wasn't just tall. She had good muscle tone, too. The short nails and calloused fingers weren't the hands of a woman who spent all day only handing drinks to people. Mia wouldn't have minded squaring off against her.
"You don't make sense with him," Mia admitted, shaking her head. "I don't know why I care. It's not my business. But he's done right by me, so I feel a little responsibility."
Karana looked up from the pad.
"And what does that mean exactly?"
"What's your deal?" Mia asked. "Is this a plot? A joke? He's not the best guy in the galaxy, but he doesn't deserve to get screwed over, and it's obvious he's into you."
Karana quirked a brow.
"This only confirms that you've never been in love."
"That's irrelevant."
"Of course you'd say that."
Karana shook her head.
"He had the audacity to ask me. He makes me laugh. When he holds my hand, it feels right. When I experienced that at first, I did question us being together. Logic isn't a total slave to love, but love is like a black hole. It was too late. The pull of gravity was too strong. By the time I tried to talk myself out of it, I was already too far gone."
Mia wrinkled her nose. She never wanted to fall in love if it weakened her that much.
"Galik is a man with a code," Karana continued. "Yes, it skirts the law of polite society, but we both wouldn't be here now if we cared about that. He wants a family, and I believe him when he says he'll be true and loyal."
Mia stood and shook her head. She wasn't sure how to process everything Karana was saying.
"Loyalty's important, whether in love, friendship, or business," Karana observed. "Wouldn't you agree?"
"Yes, I agree." Mia's back stiffened at a faint rumble. Karana wasn't reacting. She might not be able to sense it.
"Then if you do," Karana began.
A sickeningly familiar staccato pop sounded from outside. Gunfire. Charlie's roar, loud though distant, joined the noise. Karana shot out of her seat and rushed toward the cabinet.
"Protect him, and I'll ensure you get what you need."
"Hey, Debbie too," Mia barked. "What's going on?" She didn't get a response. There wasn't time to worry about that. Mia drew her pistol. "Like I said, he's been good to me. It would be inconvenient if he died." Karana opened the cabinet and pulled out a flechette rifle and a vest preloaded with magazines filled with the weapon's dart-like ammo. She rushed to the door.
"I look forward to seeing the hero of the Bleaker Beacon incident in action."
Chapter 2 Karana led Mia to another anti-grav platform and accelerated so fast that without her enhanced reflexes, Mia might have fallen off. The platform weaved between the ships and parts of the lot, heading straight toward the loud sound of gunfire. The attack shouldn't have happened. Mia had been careful, including deploying the flight to watch for any incoming ships. There was no way it was Galik trying to take on Charlie, either. The man just didn't have the courage to attempt anything like that. No, Karana wouldn't have led any ambushes. That much was clear by now. Mia took a second to check her datapad, understanding dawning when she spotted an error message about her signal being lost. She wasn't carrying a portable instance of Debbie 2 at that moment. The enemy must have been jamming them. The only thing she didn't understand is how the enemy had managed to get past the flight. In the worst-case scenario, they'd been ambushed and killed. She didn't have time to worry about her friends. They were skilled. They wouldn't die easily, and if they had died, their killers would soon be following them. While she excelled at many things, vengeance was her specialty. The platform whined underneath them until Mia and Karana arrived near the edge of the battle. Mia surveyed the area to evaluate the nature of the tactical threat. Ito and Galik ducked behind a pitted sideways armor plate liberated from the side of an old K-cap frigate. A heavy barrage of rounds bounced off the plate in a sparking fury.
The engineer and salesman returned fire, but the incessant blanket of fire made it so they barely could risk popping their heads up without a rifle taking them out. Black and
sample complete. Ready to continue?